So, yesterday, we were out there, it just kind of struck me that there are people that are buried up there. Was his name William Garnett? Was that his name? Somehow you're related to him.
He's my fifth great grandfather.
Okay.
And probably John Bolton's third great grandfather. I'd have to count it back the tree, but.
So it just struck me, you know, to be up there. And I'm more than sure that back in 1845, 180 years ago, when he passed, that landscape was entirely different. And anyone who was buried up there at that point, I'm sure they didn't think that their graves would be in a mass of almost impassable woods on top of a hill. And that the church would be here, you know, 4 or 5 some odd miles away. They were thinking that, you know, probably thinking that, you know, that some need that they had or some want that they had, or thinking about their families or their church. And in thinking about that, it just kind of struck me, you know, how much of what we think about on earth will not matter at all in heaven. And I think part of the reason that I thought about that was, I go through the Bible every year, and right now my readings are all in Ecclesiastes. And when you look at Ecclesiasties, I mean, it's, I don't know how many of you have read it or know what it's about, but it's Solomon, and he's at the end of his life. And he's looking at the fact that, you know, he was, you know, the greatest king, you know, his father was this great king, and he inherited that, and he had all of these benefits in life. He had all the money, more wealth than anybody, more wives and concubines than anybody, more knowledge than anybody. People came from all over the planet just to talk to this guy about, you know, what he thought about things. And here he is at the end of his life, and he's lamenting that it's all in vain, is one of the translations. I'm trying to think of what the other one was, how they translated it. Hold on a second, let me see. Meaningless. One of the other translations, the new, the NIV, is meaningless. It's not vanity, but it's not in vain, but it's just meaningless. It means nothing. I've had this, it means nothing. I've done that, it means nothing. We do all of these things, all of these accomplishments that we have in life are just meaningless. Until he gets down to the last, I mean, you get all the way to 12. And it's 13, starts in verse 13 of Ecclesiastes. He says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And that's what, I mean, that's what he says all life is about. So I just thought, you know, talk about those different things and how, another one I looked up, you know, was Matthew 6, you know, 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves will break in and steal. Because we think about that, you know, people, they go out and they buy these elaborate gravestones and elaborate mausoleums and you know, these big, beautiful cemeteries. And what does it really mean? Within within 20 to 40 years of your passing, no matter who you are, most likely nobody is going to ever come and, you know, visit your grave and even know who you were or what you were about. Once your grandchildren, you know, if you've made it that far when you pass, once your grandchildren are gone, it's meaningless. You can go, I can take you to that cemetery right up there and show you that. So what I thought of about that is, although those gravestones are up there and that church is long gone, people are still being baptized right in here. That's what matters. To God, to Jesus, I think that's what matters, except we're still doing that. So.
Steve, there was another church, like less than a mile up the road, near East Bend Road, and it was a universalist church. And the universalists believe that everybody's gonna go to heaven, and you know, they had a lot of ideas on theology that we as a church would not agree with. But I think the test of time has shown that that church is no longer there, and hardly anybody remembers it. You know what I mean? But like you were saying, our church is still here years later, baptizing people and doing the will of God. So it's interesting how that kind of happened.
You know, I don't know how biblical it is. We were watching an episode of The Chosen last night, and you know, obviously there's some of it's fictionalized. And someone had passed away that was in Jesus' little circle, and her father was cursing Jesus as he was walking away. And I just, you know, I said it out loud, you know, he was cursing Jesus, you know, and everything. And I was like, yeah, here we are 2,000 years later. People did curse him and spit on him and hate him. And here we are 2,000 years later, and we're still worshiping him and his word. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Zach, what did you think hiking up there yesterday? Was that your first time?
It was surprisingly. Yeah, all the time I've been here. But yeah, it was, again, like you said, everyone hiking to those trails on Sunday morning, assuming that's, you know, that was the tradition back then too, it's just, I do wonder how the landscape looked. It was flatter. If there was, you know, fewer trees, it was easier to get back into all that. And I thought it was fascinating. And then I was surprised to hear that the gentleman who was with us, I don't know his name.
Tony?
Was the guy who led us on to his,
yes.
Yeah, okay. He said that the original church was actually where the cross had been put up.
Yeah.
And we visited the cemetery and then passed the original church on the way there. And I thought that was really fascinating. That was really cool. That it was that cemetery was right there, church site was right there, and that was just, I don't know. That was cool. It was really cool.
Yeah, and I didn't realize there had been a wooden church that was built before the brick one, and it had blown down first. So then they decided, you know, they were going to do the, you know, the thing with the three little pigs. We're going to build it a brick this time, and it blew down again.
I read that they, some people went by horseback to get there, and other people walked barefoot, like for miles. And then they had shoes, but what they would do is they would wash their feet off in the spring right before they got to church, then put their shoes on to go to church, and then take their shoes back off to walk home. just very different. I can't imagine walking there barefoot right now.
Our feet aren't. Earlier, before you got here, I was talking about, you know, the comforts and stuff that we have nowadays, and yeah, I mean, there's that. We have it so easy. Our lives are just, they're not what they went through back then. I mean, I'm sure they walked barefoot almost anywhere. When I was a kid, I could, you know, run across gravel barefoot, and now I don't want to walk across the floor barefoot.
Well, it makes you wonder in the same amount of time how this place is going to be looked back on You know, I mean, I wonder if they're gonna say, wow, they had it hard. Can you imagine picking up your phone to look at it? Oh my goodness. Now I just think about it like Google search or whatever, you know, like, I just think it's neat how the folks that we visited that church, how they must have thought, oh, we have it good. And now we think we have it good and they had it rough, and that's gonna continue. And I just think that's gonna be interesting. You know, the future generation, how they look back on us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, again, you know, to me, all of the things that we take for granted, all the things that we look at, that life is about, and that's not, you know, God's ways or what God's plan is at all.
I can't help but think, come up one up the hill and, you know, stop and in the rain. We do a lot of hiking. I don't know how they kept their kids clean.
I don't think they did.
You know what yours look like when they go hiking. I know what my grandkids look like when we go hiking.
I don't know why.
There's no way to be church. Yeah, it's on the top.
We just think the church was a hike.
Yeah.
And to have that, you know, I guess too, it makes me think about churches that I've seen in Iraq, you know, in the middle of downtown Baghdad, and what people have to suffer through just to get the church there. I mean, they can be killed, nobody will care. I mean, a Christian gets killed in Baghdad, they deserve it. You know, they shouldn't be worshiping that, you know, in our home city. So, and yeah, those churches have been there since the Crusades. 1300s, 1400s, you know, they're still there. There's still people who go, and the grounds are meticulously one of the prettiest places in all of Baghdad is these Christian churches. Think about, you know, what people had to do and had to go through just to get to church. It's so easy for us.
Still do in some places.
Yeah.
They think of the churches in Tanzania I've seen having to cross the rivers.
What's that?
Makes me think of the churches in Tanzania that I've seen having to walk through the rivers. I mean, where we were, it was nothing to have to walk to church, and we worried about lions and we had elephants that went through the town and were crossing the rivers, and you're gonna get ate by a croc today or run over by a hippo just to get to church.
Yeah, and, you know, thinking about the gentleman that Gravesong I was talking about. What's his name? William Garnett, right? Yeah, I wondered, you know, what he would be thinking to know, you know, where that church and that graveyard and stuff, where it ended up from where it was when. I mean, I'd love to be able to see a picture or something, you know, to show what it looked like back then. It's kind of hard to envision when you're standing up there. And there's so many tiny stones that have nothing on them that are around there. I mean, I probably counted, you know, 8 or 10 just standing there, you know, a little bitty, and there's nothing on them. You don't know who they were. How old the person was. Just something for somebody here to remember them by, you know, for the generation or two that. And, you know, what are we leaving? What's our legacy? Are we leaving to the people behind us, you know, something that is important, that isn't, you know, I'm gonna leave them my car or my house or my money or, you know, whatever. I think the most important thing to leave anybody is the love of the Lord and eternal life. And that, you know, that made me think of a different perspective of it too. You know, I think on this side of death, there's a thought about, you know, who's not going to be there, you know, because they're not believers. And to those who aren't believers who think, you know, I really don't think that we're going to notice them. I don't. And I mean, that's sad to say, but the people who aren't going to be there, I don't think that, because when you go through the Bible, when you read about what heaven is, you know, a few things in there where it talks about what heaven's about, there's not going to be any sadness. There's not going to be any regret. So that the people that aren't there, they're just not going to be there, and they're not going to be on the other side of it. There's a point where I think it's Jesus was making a point about something, and he's talking about this guy Lazarus, who in life was treated horribly, but in death he's in heaven. And a friend of his didn't make it, but his friend can see everything that's going on with him and act, you know, as you know that Lazarus can let somebody, you know, his family know about this, and you know, Jesus is like, well, it wouldn't matter because they, you know, they've seen God and his works all these days and still didn't make that decision. So telling you about it now. So I think that people who don't make it, who end up in hell, are going to be able to see those of us who did make it, and they're going to be, that's going to be part of their torment, is that they could have made it.
I think a little bit of it too is our mind and earthly body and human, we can't fathom God. Like a lot of people are like, oh, if God loves us, he can't send us to hell. But once we're in heaven, we're gonna have that understanding, and we're gonna see that he's a little more the way God sees it. And it's kind of in that faith that it'll make sense when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we're gonna see the people that are in hell, but we're gonna understand that that's what they chose.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's a great point. Our finite brains, you know, they can't comprehend that. And, you know, we think, you know, how mean that is, you know, that we're really not going to care about those people. It's not that we didn't care about them in life. I would love for everybody that I meet to become a believer and a wholehearted believer and to understand what it's really all about. I mean, obviously that's unrealistic, but that's what I would want. But it's, I mean, I think that's part of why, you know, God, Jesus so much, he talks about, you know, spreading the gospel is what our job is supposed to be. Casting the seeds. And he was here on earth, you know, and I mean, his movement is still going today, 2,000 years later. But even though he was God here on earth, there were a lot of people he just couldn't get. The Son of God couldn't get them. You know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, I mean, and many others, many people who weren't in those groups that just couldn't get what it was about. Camel through the eye of a needle, you know, he talked about.
I find it hard to understand how people that witnessed all the miracles that he performed would find it so difficult to accept him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even the disciples, you know, they had so many questions, and it's like, you know, I think that's why I like the Chosen series so much. You know, it kind of brings different dimensions to the disciples, you know. And at one point we were watching last night, you know, a couple of the disciples were upset and they were talking to Peter. They're like, you know, he can do anything. And he said, well, he said, the thing is, there aren't things that he can't do and he's not supposed to do. And I just want to believe in the guy that can walk on water. And and I think there's a lot to be said for that. You know, there are miracles all around us. People who are, you know, for all intents and purposes, they're gone. You know, they're brain dead, whatever, and then God, you know, brings them back, gives them full health, full life. People in the church, you know, that's happened to. And, people that I know, you know, that's happened to, and what makes them, you know, so much different from somebody else who didn't get that miracle. God's got his ways of doing things, and just that's what he was saying, you know, in that moment was, you know, you gotta have faith that, you know, Jesus knows what's right. He knows what, you know, the best thing is in every situation. And we don't. I think it's great that we're going to have a baptism today. I don't know. Anybody know the person? Liam? Liam Black, I think his name is.
Is that Cheyenne's?
Who's that?
Cheyenne's.
Yes.
Yeah. Cheyenne, I guess it was her aunt, was Bessie Black, who lived in a little house right here behind the church. And she was a faithful member of our church for many, many years. I used to sit on her front porch, visit with her, and my mom made me pull weeds at her house, so. but she was very sweet, and I wonder if Cheyenne wanted to be here because of, you know, those connections from a long time ago.
It's a great place to be. Mm-hmm. And I've been, I mean, a lot of you, have, this has, you know, been your church home for your life, you know, your whole life. Or, you know, it's maybe the only one you've known, or I've been to churches all over the place. And I found a few that were really, really good. And this place is just, it's really special. The people are special. Church is special. God is here. He's at work here. One of the notes I put down, you know, was about, you know, caring about how much we care about leaving a legacy, you know, having something that withstands time. You probably know NF. You know who NF is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many of you guys know who NF is, but I actually heard about him from a friend's kid when I was at a church out in Kansas City. And he's a rapper, Christian rapper. And he's got a song, I really like the song, but the beginning of the lyrics are, you know, when I die, put my trash in a trash bag, I don't care where they go, I'm more concerned about my soul. And what'd you laugh about?
Because you said put my trashes in a trash bag.
Oh.
Instead of put my ashes in a trash bag.
I said, don't waste your money on a gravestone. I'm more concerned about my soul, you know. And I mean, that's it. And I didn't realize, you know, I bought, when my dad passed, I bought his stone and bought a pretty nice one, but I mean, it's sitting on a hillside, Eastern Kentucky, and I haven't been back there. 2019 was the last time we were there. So my sisters go all the time, but you know, once they're gone, you know, their kids might, one or two of their kids might go and visit, maybe. But there's gravestones in that one that, I mean, nobody knows who they are, who they were. Okay. And they're just a bare stone.
Something we found interesting down by us, we're close to Warsaw. Our house was built in 1865. Yeah. The person who built our house, his dad founded the Christian church down the road from us that's still standing and still having service all the time. We've gone and seen the founder's gravestone. All of his family's long moved away. None of that family is still around, but just the ties from our house, it was built by the people who started that church, and the church is still going. It gives us that connection.
Yeah. I guess if you tried hard enough, you can take the connection all the way back to Jesus, you know. Different people. I mean, that would be as neat as, like, you know, doing a, I think it would be neater than doing, like, your family tree, you know, how the people who brought us to Christ, you know, how they were brought, how things happened.
That'd be a whole book worth of,
wouldn't it?
I mean, you could imagine, the genealogy in the Bible's already makes your head spin. Yeah. And that was written back in Bible times. You imagine, look at the...
you wouldn't even have bloodlines or, I mean, you look at Cake, you know, and granted, he grew up, you know, in the Catholic side of things, but, you know, not really like I did. My grandfather, both my grandfathers tried to instill, you know, something in me, and I had one grandfather who was a devout Catholic and one who was a Baptist. And to tell you the truth, never thought that I would ever, I lean more Catholic in my leanings because I lived near that grandfather and he took me to church every Sunday. And so my leanings were, and I went to catechism and, you know, First Communion and confirmation and all that stuff in the Catholic Church. I never would have thought that I would end up in a Baptist church or a Methodist church or a Church of the Nazarene or any of the other ones that I've been to. But I guess that lineage, you know, how it all, none of that really ever brought me to Christ. I came, you know, based off of what I saw as a miracle. I still think it's a miracle. So I don't know how many of here, I mean, for you, Jesse, I guess you guys, your families always come here. So
yeah, I think so. My good granny used to as well.
Yep.
And, you know, like Tate said, he got in his neighborhood, you know, just started talking to him while he was running around, you know, about Christ. And next thing you know, he ended up in church. So yeah, I think that would be interesting, you know, to kind of take it all back to the first 12. I don't know how possible it would ever be. It'd be kind of neat to see.
And Caitlin Mills probably done it. I mean,
what's that?
Carolyn Mills has probably done it. Knowing how much
she's probably got to figure it out.
She's probably got to figure it out.
But I think sometimes it would be hard because who do you actually credit with that? You know, I mean, like sometimes I think there are various influences in your life before you get to that point where you, you know, say, so is it the person who actually, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think we can all, or most of us can look back and see where we had different people that input.
Like who initially planted the seed.
Right? Yeah, versus exactly.
Who watered and nurtured.
Yeah, yeah. Like there were a lot of people who were in that process versus not just the person that closed the deal.
Yeah.
So to speak. And being Father's Day, I think it's cool. I kept sitting here thinking, you know, this is the like faith of our fathers. You know?
I didn't even think about that today.
I know. I mean, it's kind of. I mean, when I was little, my parents, well, we quote went to a Methodist church, but I don't know that we went all that often. But like my grandfather was taught Sunday school at like a Church of the Nazarene, and I don't know. I mean, like I said, just thinking, you know, whatever, different influences.
We're singing loud today.
What's that?
We're singing loud today.
Mm-hmm. If they do that on church, huh?
I hope so. They yeah. sing today, I think.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
They do. You know, another thing too is I know sometimes when there are a lot of things going on, you know, with the people, especially, you know, when it's family people, you know, I mean, a lot of things happening, people getting sick, you know, tragedies going on, shootings, the politics, I mean, all kinds of things in the world that we don't understand. I think that all goes back to, you know, that whole thing of sometimes we have to stop and remind ourselves that God is God and we are not, and we don't always understand, but it is. It's putting that faith and trust in, you know, in the man that walks on water. I mean, it's the whole, we don't always have answers. You know, it's like she was saying, you know, people will say, you know, they'll ask, you know, why, or they don't understand why things happen, or why would a loving God let this happen or that happen? And it's hard, especially if it's like young people, children, you know. For me, it's always different if you have especially a saintly person who's lived a good long life and they're ready to go, and, you know, or you see a tiny baby with cancer, you know, it's like, this is so not fair. You know, but we don't know the future. We don't know the whole picture. And God is God and we are not.
Well, they sing that loud when they get up there.
Exactly. I was thinking
that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the question.
I think
your parents
are
over
time.
Awesome. All right. Go ahead and pray us out. I know it's a little early, but thank you guys. Appreciate the input. Hopefully we get John back next week. It'll be great. We do miss him very much. And not just because of that. I definitely appreciate everybody and your input. And hopefully, you know, we furthered God's message this morning. So, go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for revealing your word to us, dear Lord. And we just ask that you put it within us to go and share your word, dear Lord. What we learned here, what we discussed, and what we talked about, we can take that to others and open your word to them, dear Lord, and hopefully be that seed or be that person who waters that seed to bring them to you. And we just ask, dear Lord, you keep us all safe, bring us back, forgive us when we fail you. We ask all this and we give you thanks, dear Lord, in Jesus' name, as you would have it. Amen.